Hello to all of you Blindcool Tech listeners. My name is Mike Buzzboom, and I'm located in Vienna, Austria. What you're about to hear is a recording I made on July 12, 2006, as I returned from a research conference where I gave a presentation on the activities of the Technical Commission of the European Blind Union, where I am a member, representing the Austrian Association of the Blind. I want to thank all of you who gave me so much encouragement, both in email and just personal calls after my soundseeing tour of Vienna a year ago. I've been battling chronic fatigue syndrome, still am, but I'm making progress, so I wasn't able to respond to all of you in writing. I still get tired very easily. You can hear my fatigue in the recording. But I was feeling so happy after having given a presentation. It was my first presentation in my field after several months of inactivity. And so I thought I'd share part of the train ride back to Vienna with you. Hope that it's instructive. Hope that it's enjoyable. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact me on the Blind Cool Tech list. All the best, and thanks for listening. I'm sitting in the restaurant car of this train. This is an intercity train, a European train. This train happens to be en route from Bregenz, which is the last major city before you get to the Swiss border in the west, to Vienna. It's a little bit loud in this train. Most trains are quieter. I'm sitting in the restaurant car. The car is air-conditioned. I'm having a cup of coffee. It's actually a cappuccino. And on my way back from Linz, where I was attending this conference on disability, as I mentioned. When I came to Europe in 1976, one of the things that amazed me, having grown up on a farm in Central Illinois, was how easy it was for me to get around. Over the past year and a half, I've been really wrestling with chronic fatigue syndrome, which is a tremendously debilitating disease. Or a syndrome. You can get over it in terms of your ability to perform, but my ability to orient myself independently and my mobility, both of those things have suffered significantly, but still I can pretty much travel alone and get from point A to point B. So I thought what I'd do today is, since I'd received so many requests and so much encouragement after my Vienna podcast tour, which meant the world to me, when you spend most of your time in bed because you can no longer write and you can't do the work you used to do, that encouragement meant so much. So thanks to all of you who took the time to write to me. I didn't respond to all of the notes just because I just didn't have the stamina to do so, but I appreciated it. And so, based on some of the questions that were asked during that after that podcast, I want to talk about the train system here. I can remember in 1983, I had been in Europe for several years by then, and I was a student still, but I started getting involved in research into various facets of adaptive technology as it related to blindness. But as a researcher at the university, I didn't have much money, but I can remember one day, it was a day like today, the sun was shining, I was sitting in the restaurant car, and I was eating a nice Wiener Schnitzel, and I knew that I would be arriving in Vienna at 5:30 that afternoon, and that I could go ahead and do what I wanted to do that evening. To that point, I had very seldom taken trains because I didn't have much money. I was always fiercely independent, and I used to hitchhike all over Europe by myself. I had procedures implemented which made it possible. I had people help me make signs so that I could stand out on the Autobahn, on the entrances to the Autobahn or at gas stations. And I'd stand there and I'd hitchhike, and I did quite well. But as I got older, I began to think to myself that hitchhiking, although it was a cool thing and I loved doing it, I don't think I'd let my three daughters hitchhike now today. I don't think they'd even want to. But at the time, I thought, you know, at the age of 26 or however old I was by the time I decided to stop hitchhiking, I was sitting in that train, and somehow I knew that morning that this was the beginning of a new phase in my life. I had hitchhiked from this town way out in the middle of nowhere. Actually, it's a town called Tannheim, which is close to Memmingen, which, for any of you European listeners or anybody who knows the geography of Germany, is in Bavaria. And I got picked up after standing out on the Autobahn entrance for, you know, for 45 minutes. I finally got picked up, and the guy said to me, he says, my route takes me to the Autobahn entrance that would get you on the Autobahn from Munich to Salzburg, but I also pass the train station. So do you want to hitchhike back to Vienna, or do you want to take the train? Well, I thought, no, I will take the train. So I got into the train station, and I bought myself some food, some nice bread, and maybe a torte at a fantastic little bakery inside the train station bakery in Munich. Got on the train and sat in the Speisewagen, or the restaurant car, later on, and had my schnitzel. And I knew that my hitchhiking days were done. Now, my wife is sighted. She's was born and raised in Salzburg, and we opted quite a long time ago not to own a car. And the reason we chose not to own a car was because we live in the center of the city, and we found that a car was an unnecessary expense. I want to profile the Viennese public transportation system, which is similar to a lot of public transportation systems in other European cities, in a different podcast. But just to say that we found that it was just cheaper not to own a car and to take the trains quite a lot. Now, if you are a resident of Austria, we're going through a tunnel and my ears are starting to pop. If you are a resident of Austria and you are blind, you don't have to be a citizen, but you do have to be a resident, you are allowed to take all trains for half price. And so for this, it's what's going to end up being 300 kilometers, or what is that, about 150 miles, not quite, I can't figure it out in miles, but probably about 190 miles. This 190 mile round trip, I am paying €24.50, which is about $28. Now the thing is, as a blind person, you pay half on the train, but if you take somebody with you, somebody who is your companion, they go for free. So you end up going for a lot less money than a lot of other people would. Now, blind people, disabled people aren't the only ones who get discounts. Students get discounts, and the elderly get discounts too. This is a long tunnel. It has an interesting history. I'll share it with you in a minute if I don't forget. And the trains are being cut back in Europe as more and more people own cars. But one of the interesting things is that even though the train services are being cut back in some respects to sort of destinations that aren't frequented by very many people, they are being expanded in other ways. And so if you live in Vienna and want to go to any major European city, chances are if it's an Austrian city or a German city, you're going to get a direct train. Or a major German city, I should say. You're going to get a direct train, and you're going to get more than one direct train a day. And so, yeah.
Also, wissen Sie, ich, wann kommen wir in Wien an?
12:35.
Wenn Sie gegen 12:10 kommen könnten oder 20, oder so, ich schaue, dass ich auf jeden Fall zurückgehe zu meinem Platz, falls Sie nicht hier sind. Und, aber wenn Sie mich dort abholen könnten, wäre es echt nett. Ganz lieben Dank. Danke.
That was the conductor asking me when I finished if he should take me back to my seat, and I said no, I'd go back there myself, probably. But I asked him when we arrived in Vienna, he's going to help me find the taxi. And that's another facet of the service here that I get to in a minute. But trains leave so frequently that you can pretty much get there. Go when you want and arrive when you want. You sometimes have to change trains someplace, but as a rule, the train service is very reliable. And one of the things that's popular in Austria also is for people who live in Vienna, perhaps, they want the flexibility of a car, but they don't want to drive to their destination. So there are several trains a day that have special car, special larger cars that you can park, drive your train cars. You can drive your car onto one of these train cars, and then you get on and you pick it up at the other end. And when you consider the price of gasoline, which is quite high over here, turns out to be quite reasonable. You relax while you're on the train going to your destination. You get out at the other end and you drive your car off the train, and then you've got your wheels where you are. So I think in a lot of ways the train system here, and I'm speaking pretty much for Austria and Germany and France, you know, pretty similar in approach. They are aware of the fact that people have options, and people could take, you know, people could drive or fly. The train stations are somewhat, they're very large, as a train station would have to be. That's no different than a train, like thinking of Union Station in Chicago or something like that. You know, very, very large. And inside the train stations, you can pretty much get everything. Trains here in Vienna, or in Europe, almost all of them are air-conditioned. And the second class, I never go first class. There's no reason to. The first class seats are very comfortable, but the second class compartments are carpeted. The seats are comfortable. They're wide enough. And one of the things that's, we're going through another tunnel. Austria is mountainous, and there are lots of tunnels. Most of the train compartments now in the modern trains have outlets at their at your seat. So every other seat has an outlet. You can either sit in open cars, or you can sit in compartments that hold six people. I kind of like the open compartments, but there are times when you can't get them. So, you know, you're in a compartment with five other people. If the compartment's full, you shut the door, and then it's air-conditioned, and it's nice. And more trains have outlets within them so that you can do your work on your computer or recharge your batteries or whatever, you know, you'd need an outlet for. I find this awfully convenient because, for instance, if you're working on a computer, and a lot of people know, computers are wont to do just when you're in the middle of doing something important, the batteries die. So having an outlet there is nice. When I worked for Arkenstone in the 90s, I frequently took a train to Zurich and then changed in Zurich. And I loved the fact that you just sit in the train and relax for 8 or 9 hours, do your work, although back then not as many trains had outlets as they do now. But the trains are pretty nice. Contrary to rumor, they're not always on time. Especially in the summertime, where they do a lot of maintenance on the railroad system, so I mean, they're more frequently on time than not. But you will encounter those times when the train is a little late. So you to say that the trains are always on time is not really true. What I can say is that in my experience, the trains are reliable enough that I certainly don't mind taking them. I don't mind putting up with the fact that occasionally, especially if there's a good reason, they're going to be a little late. One of the tragic things, a fact that isn't really discussed that much in Austrian radio and television, is that I've been on a couple of trains where all of a sudden the train has slammed on its brakes and come to a complete stop. There's a door opening up. People are moving going from one car to the next. It's a little bit loud in this train. That's untypical, by the way. There we go. But the train just came to a complete stop, and I found out later on, I was speaking with one of the conductors in the train. One popular way of committing suicide is to throw yourself in front of a train, and so that particular train that I was on, it came to a just... I mean, it was awful. It just came to a halt. I'd never been in a train that had braked so quickly, but it's because somebody had just thrown themselves in front of the tracks. So it's kind of sad, but I guess that's going to happen whether you're in Europe or elsewhere. The prices in the restaurants, the restaurant cars, are only a little bit higher than restaurants outside the train station. Which is surprising. The food's good. The portions are, I must say, a little bit smaller. And as the railroads over here are starting to privatize and get more competition, you're starting to find more people vying for the restaurant car rentals. In other words, you know, so that in some places you can even, in a couple of trains, you can even find a restaurant car which is run by McDonald's, and so you can get yourself a Big Mac, and you know, you can get other things, but they're the ones that have that car. That's not on many trains, but I've experienced it before. Austria doesn't have any of the really, really, really fast trains like the TGV, which is the French train, where you're going around 300 kilometers an hour. I've been on that train from Paris to Lyon, and it's an amazing experience if you ever come to Europe to get on one of those trains where you're moving that quickly. You don't feel that, it almost feels like you're gliding on a cushion of air. It's really, really kind of neat. Austria doesn't have that. The reason Austria doesn't have that is because Austria is mountainous, and we don't have any really large or extended stretches where it would be practical to build tracks like that. Travel in Europe is changing constantly as well, because of the fact that Europe is becoming unified and the fact that the Iron Curtain has come down. The way train travel works is different. Firstly, you get from point A to point B a lot faster because you don't have to stop at Eastern European borders where guards with machine guns come on and search the trains. And I think the overall demeanor of trained personnel has gotten lots better, because there's more competition now. There's more buses than ever before that you can, comfortable buses that will get you where you want to go. And also another thing that's happening, something that's really kind of exciting, is that air travel in Europe has become much less expensive. In the 90s, I oftentimes considered flying to a certain destination, in the early 90s especially, and it turned out that I could fly to Chicago and visit my parents in central Illinois for less money than it would cost me to fly from Vienna to, let's say, Stockholm or Paris. Now, that wasn't always the case, but it was amazing what a plane ticket would cost, and so the train was really the only viable option. That's changing because now if you buy your ticket in advance for just $35 or $40, you can fly to London. Maybe $50, $55 if you buy your ticket in advance, you can round trip London or Vienna to London and back if you book far enough in advance. So the trains are starting to face some competition. And so the trains are also offering some really exciting offers where I can pay at certain times. If I reserve in advance, I just pay 29 euros, and I can go to Frankfurt from Vienna, which is about 8.5 hours, 7 hours, 45 minutes by train from our place. And that's, I don't know how far it is in terms of miles, but about 400 miles, something like that. I could be off on that. One of the interesting things is that's so fun now is when you get to a border, you don't have to stop for a passport check. And one of the things that amazes me, the first time I went to Hungary, was in 1976. It was late 1976. I had to go to the Hungarian embassy to get a visa, and I had to let them know when I was going to arrive and when I was going to leave. And I was a student, and I hitchhiked to Budapest. And I got there without any problem, but getting back, I remember standing on the Autobahn hoping and praying somebody would pick me up because I had to be out of the country by midnight, and this was at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And finally this guy pulled over, it was an Austrian, started asking me tons of questions, and to make a long story short, he took me with him, but at the border there were all the guards with the machine guns, and he was describing to me what they looked like. And when we got out of Hungary, at the time I remember feeling this distinct sense of relief. Even back then, I'd started saying to myself, you know, I ought to really consider taking trains. But I, as a student, and didn't have a lot of money, so I chose the hitchhiking route. Today, with the trains now, you don't even know if you've passed from one border to the other, unless the train station is right at the border. There are some cool things that I do enjoy. One of the things that was big in the 80s and big in the 90s was the fact that the train conductor, whoever calls out the announcements, proudly say, if you want to make a phone call, you can go to the restaurant car, and we'll be happy. We've got a card. We've got this telephone, and you pay out the ear. He didn't say that, but said you can make your phone calls. Well, the cool thing about this phone was if it only worked in the country that the train originated from. So if this was a train, let's say from Paris to Vienna, which is the Orient Express, which I have taken, it's a riot taking the Orient Express just because to say you've been on it. But it would work in France, but it wouldn't work in Germany or in Austria. So, you're sort of sitting there thinking, well, how do I make a phone call here? Now, of course, everybody has a mobile phone. And the mobile phone system in Europe is something that I hope changes someday, because right now, if you have your mobile phone for Austria, which is a small country, you can use it in Germany and you can use it in wherever in Europe, but you pay out the ear. You pay out the ear for receiving calls and making calls, whereas if you use the phone in your own country, you only pay for the time you spend making calls. You don't pay anything for calls you receive. You don't pay any airtime or anything like that. So you can sort of tell if you're blind when you're across the border, because all of a sudden, you get all these messages on your phone saying, welcome to such and such a service, and you can do this and you can do that with our service and all that. But now we're starting to break pretty strongly. I always get nervous when these trains break strongly, because I'm afraid that my coffee's going to slide off the edge of the table, which it hasn't very often, but it did once, and I was using a Braille light, and I had kept on asking the guy in the restaurant, the waiter, to clean off the table, and he was talking to a friend, and then that was the day where that terrible accident happened, but he braked, and all of the used milk that from somebody else's, they hadn't used all of the milk, but the creamer, which he should have cleared off the table a half hour earlier, since I'd been sitting there that long, slid right into my Braille light, and I don't know, that would have been kind of a neat recording. The Braille light made some really funny noises as the cream seeped into the Braille display, and a few of the dots were stuck up, the other dots retracted, and some of them were halfway up and down, but I was able to convince the railroad that they should pay for that expense, because the waiter was negligent. He'd been asked repeatedly to clean off the table, so they replaced it for me. But still, going off on a tangent, I forget what I was trying to say. You'll have to forgive me. I'm not going to edit too much of this. But we obviously didn't stop where we're moving, so I guess there was no serious accident. One of the cool things that I love about Europe, one of the things that somebody's phone, ubiquitous sound, you'd have that in the States or any place else. One of the things I like about Europe is the fact that you can hear lots of different languages in these trains. I've only heard German in this train. I can't hear any English right now. But this is a train that is from Vorarlberg, so we'll probably have some Swiss people here who took the train to the Austrian border and changed trains or something like that. Probably won't hear too many languages, but that's one of the things that's really fun. Another thing that's really popular in more and more European trains, especially the international trains, is the radio programs. If you have your own earphone, chances are you'll be able to. I mean, this only used to be in first class, but now it's becoming more and more common in second class also. And it's more common in Germany than in Austria. But a lot of the trains have their own programs, so that like when you're flying in a plane, you can listen to the airline's programs, their special audio shows. They have that on these trains, but they also have regular radio stations. So you can be on the train and have your earphones plugged in, and you can listen to radio stations in nice, clear stereo quality. And that's quite nice. I don't know if they have that in the United States or not in trains, but it is a really nice thing. As I said, it happened, I've seen more of that in Germany than I've seen in Austria, although that's becoming more and more common here. I haven't heard of anybody offering wireless broadband on these trains yet. But as a rule, as a rule, we find taking the train very economical. During the summer, we paid 20 euros for each of our girls. 20 euros is very reasonable, and now we bought each of the girls a summer pass, which means they have unlimited access to the trains in Austria for the entire summer, which really makes things easy. We're trying to teach our girls to be independent, and with an excellent public transportation system in Vienna as well as in Salzburg, we sent the girls to Salzburg this past week so they could be with their with family in Salzburg. Claudia and Heidi are at ages, their Claudia is 12 and Heidi's 11, and they fight all the time, and so they said, we don't want to take the same train. And it was no big deal. Claudia took the earlier train, Heidi took a train that was later, and they got off in Salzburg and took the bus to their grandfather's house, and things were fine. And so I think the trains really are make an effort to encourage their use. Almost every train in Austria has what is called a Kinderabteil. This is for little, where mothers or fathers and you know, have small children, where the kids can play. They've got games there and things to climb on, and they have that in the train. Then they have another one, which is a baby compartment, where, you know, mothers or fathers with infants can go in there, and there's a changing table and things like that, and the bathrooms nearby. Bathrooms, as a rule, are reasonably clean, electric dryers, electric toilet flushers, so you don't have to worry if you need to use the facilities while you're stationary at a train station. It's not going to spill out onto the track and things like that. I'm trying to think of other amenities. I can't really think of that many, but I would certainly be willing to answer any questions if people had them. And if I think of anything else to add between now and Vienna, I'll let you know. Most cities have structured their public transportation so that it is easy to access the train station or train stations. Vienna has three different train stations, and different cities are, you know, of course, different in that regard. Munich has one main train station, as does Frankfurt. Another tunnel here. but so it's easy to get to the train stations. In terms of service, in terms of presence on the web, the Austrian Federal Railways is pretty good. You can go to www.oebb.at. That's Oscar Echo Bravo Bravo dot Alpha Tango, and there is a link there that you can click on, and I think then you can get everything in English. I don't use it. I think I've seen that. You might want to give it a try. So that if you want to look at the train schedule, you can. You can also print out your tickets in advance. You can buy your tickets online and have them printed out at home. So you just take the ticket that you've printed out to the train when you get on the train, and then you're good to go. You do pay a higher price for your ticket if you buy it on the train. Now, the exception being if you're disabled. And the reason they don't charge disabled people more money is the rationale being that it's harder for them sometimes to get to the ticket lines. And so if I need to, I can buy my ticket. I keep on swallowing, my ears hurt. I can buy my ticket in the train and pay the same price that I would if I bought it at the ticket counter. You can pay for your tickets in pretty much the same way I think you can pay for your tickets anywhere: cash, credit card, or you know, bank debit. One of the things that a lot of people do also is if they know they're going to spend lots of time on the train, they buy what they call kilometer banks, where they say, I think that for the next 6 months I'm going to be using the train a lot, so I'll buy this kilometer bank. And so whenever they travel, they let the chauffeur know where they're going. He knows how many kilometers to click off, and then when they're when they've run out of kilometers, they have to buy new ones, but it's a cheaper way of traveling if you know you're going to be doing quite a lot of it. I know that I'm forgetting tons of stuff. I also know that I tended to wander a little bit in my presentation. But if you have any questions, please let me know. While I was in Linz, I made several recordings of presentations at the conference. I've got some interviews of people that you might enjoy listening to. And I thought it would be a fun way to share what I've done. So many of you have encouraged me without even realizing it. I remember one night sitting in a coffee house and just got my wireless to work on one of the, I don't know what unit, I think I was using the Braille Sense, but it might have been something else. But just got my wireless to work, and this place had wireless broadband. And I remember sitting there and downloading a podcast. Sorry, I hate it when somebody opens the door. It closes by itself, but if these trains go around a curve, you know, with the mountains, you know, then the door doesn't quite close as quickly as I'd like it to close. But anyway, like I was saying, I remember being in this coffee house downloading a Blind Cool Tech episode. It was by Hope Povenmeyer, just talking about her music, and then she played a little bit of music, and was sitting there drinking a cup of coffee. And I love coffee houses, and I love being in Vienna after all these years. I still feel as if I were on vacation here. I told my wife I was having a date with somebody at the coffee house, and actually it was a cyber date with somebody who was just playing me music while I sat there and drank my coffee and just talking. And this list has been so wonderful. I'm so happy that it was, that you had the idea to make this list a reality, Larry. And I just want to thank all of the people, there are too many of you to mention, who've encouraged me, especially during this past year where I've spent lots of time in bed just recovering from chronic fatigue syndrome, listening to the podcasts, feeling that some of you have touched my life in some pretty special ways. I think of Larry's walks to work, or Chris Grabowski's little episodes. I really enjoy also Maria and Lynette, their slice of life podcasts. So many hopes, of course, at the coffee house. So many of you have encouraged me just by being yourselves. I appreciate it so much. Anyway, I'm going to conclude this podcast. If you want to reach me, if you have any questions, here are a couple of ways to do that. You can send a mail to Mike, M-I-K-E, at BuzzBoom, Bravo United Sierra, Bravo Oscar, Oscar Mike, dot Alpha Tango. I'm on the Blind Cool Tech list. Or if you want to Skype me, just send a note to M Buzzboom. That's Mike Bravo Uniform Sierra Bravo Oscar Oscar Mike, and I'll add you to my Skype contact list. Thanks for being great listeners. This was recorded on an Edirol R9. I'm using the 16-bit wave format. I'll convert it once I've edited just a little bit. I'm not good at editing, so I won't do too much of it. I'm not really good at sound editing, but I'll do a little bit of work on this before I send it up to the list. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. Wish all of you the very, very best. Bye for now.